Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another live edition of the Highbury Squad. It's Lockdown Series, Volume 2, Episode 20, and it's someone's birthday, so we've got the Dickie Bow Thursday out. Plus, we have the ref. Let's roll. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us this evening. Mr. Super Kev, Super Kevin Campbell. I'm Dickie Bowing it. It is your birthday.
Oh!
Oh!
I didn't get the memo.
That's all right, ref. You look good as well. Thanks for joining us.
That's okay.
All right, anytime. Cool. All right, so look.
Are you ready, ref? Are you ready?
Yeah, I've got my tin out ready, don't you?
Good man, good man, good man.
He might not be, you know, I don't know what I'm going to say, but let me just say that the birthday stuff we're going to do after we have the segment with the ref, okay? But I'm going to put some of these up already because they're coming in thick and fast. As you can imagine, there's so much love for Kev, the ref. It's unbelievable, right? So thanks for everyone. Sending messages. We got
thank you.
So many emails, Kev. If I could read them out, we'd need another show. You know what I mean? So, you know, we're going to do a little birthday stuff in just a little bit. But we're going to start.
Is that a surprise?
Well, you don't know yet. You don't know.
Well, you just told me a little. Well, I don't know what's coming. So bring it on.
I will bring it on. Absolutely. Also, someone sent me a voice note, which I have to play apparently at the beginning of the show. You know how demanding she can be. So I'm just going to play it. How about that?
There we go.
Hey, everyone on the Highbury Squad. Good evening. So sorry I can't be with you, but I will be back tomorrow night. First of all, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to Casey, who's now the same age as me. Happy birthday to you. I couldn't do that this morning, but now I have. Okay, so I know we've got the ref on. Hello, ref. Sorry I can't be on, but I am still so vexed about this because as far as I'm concerned, that striker hit Louise in the knee. How the hell it can be David Louise's fault, I'll never know, and I'm the first to criticise him. And then to get a red card for it. That is absolute joke. And then we find out if it had dive-bombed him and tried to have gone for the ball and flattened him, he would have got a yellow card. Seriously, who makes these laws up? It's absolutely ridiculous. And, of course, when Arsenal went to the Premier League, we never get anything rescinded anyway, but I'm glad they tried. Anyway, everybody, enjoy the show. Love you all. Bye.
If I hadn't played that at the beginning of the show, I would have gotten a lot of trouble, as a couple of you may know.
a singing doesn't improve, does it?
No, it doesn't.
Hey, listen, I'll take that. Thank you, PG. Even singing for me. Bless you.
Very sweet. She did. She wanted to sing to you this morning, but Carl was sleeping, so she didn't want to get in trouble. She knows what it's like to be in trouble. Yeah.
Thank God.
And hold the birthday mayo, you guys, because I've got something lined up. And Newman, you're right. I'm bad at surprises. I just blow them out the water. All right, ref, let's get going because I want to take this in chronological order before we talk about what happened today.
Easy for you to say.
Chronological order. So let's go to the game.
Yep.
Everyone said from, you know, on TalkSport, Sky, ESPN, everybody, the letter of the law, the referee was following the letter of the law. I'm just going to hand it over to you and talk us. Go on, Casey. It's your birthday. You can do anything.
Let's talk about the Saka penalty first.
All right, let's go from there.
Yeah, let's look at the Saka incident because he got caught by Bolly. And why wasn't that looked at?
I don't know. You see,
that's fair enough.
If you're going to get me into a general discussion about VAR, Sophie knows, me and Sophie had many a discussion coming in. And I told her, told Sophie, that it was a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I can touch it. The Saka incident is a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
It, by the letter of the law, if you're going to go down that route, which they've gone down, which is fine, okay, if that's what you're going to do, then you have to referee consistently.
Yeah.
And VAR has to intercede and say, there's contact, either look at it or we're dictating to you that there's a penalty there for you to see and go to the screen if you have to. They don't. They're consistently being inconsistent.
Yeah.
Which therefore just blow the whole thing out of the water. And if that's what you're going to do, you may as well let the referee on the field be inconsistent, because at least he has an excuse.
Yeah. Very true. I wanted to get the Saka one in because obviously it sets it up for David Luiz.
Directly influences that decision. Not influences, sorry. It directly links it to that decision.
Yeah.
And it does. And unfortunately, with this referee, we have a bit of a history as well, ref. And, you know, obviously a lot of Arsenal fans go into conspiracy theories and stuff like that. But I want to talk about an arc, what he did and some of his actions after the game, and get to the main incident. Arsenal dominating the game. You know, we should have been 3-0 up at halftime. We didn't take our chances. They broke and split the defence. And then the challenge happens. The letter of the law says that maybe the referee made the right decision. Why don't you just talk us through that?
Yep. So you've set that up perfectly. Go back to the Saka incident and just think about that and have that in your mind when we talk about this incident. So you'll know after speaking on this show many times and privately, I look at things via my gut instinct. So that's how I referee. I referee in real time. I don't referee on replays. I go with my gut generally. And generally, I think I'm pretty good at assessing a situation. Mm-hmm. When the striker went through, when he went down, I knew what was about to occur. I knew he was going to give a penalty. And I knew that David Luiz was going to get sent off. David Luiz has been sent off for plenty in the past for being an idiot.
Yep.
In this instant, he has done absolutely nothing wrong. All he's done is actually run without breaking his stride. So I suppose if you think on, he could have held back if it had sort of given the striker some room, but he's not going to think like that. He's running, trying to get back. He's made no foul. He's not done anything intentional. There's the slightest of touches, I think, by the way. I've seen it about 15 times and I think this contact, I'm not 100% sure, by the way, but I think this contact, the striker going down in that situation would tell you this contact, because as Kev knows, if you're one-on-one with a goalkeeper and you've got the goal at your mercy, you're not going to fall to the floor if you think you've got a chance of scoring. So assume there is contact. As soon as that happens, the letter of the law does indeed state that there is no alternative but to send the player off and give a penalty. I've got the law in front of me because even I second guessed it. So I gave the decision live. I was like, he's gonna give a penalty and that's a red card. And it's a red card because David Luiz has made no attempt to play the ball. That is the law. So I'm going to read you the law.
Okay.
This is in the FA law.
All right, let's hear it.
This is a player to be sent off, denying a goal or an obvious goal scoring opportunity. Where a player commits an offence against an opponent in their own penalty area, which denies an opponent an obvious goal-scoring opportunity and the referee awards a penalty kick, the offending player is cautioned if the offence was an attempt to play the ball. In all other circumstances, brackets, e.g. holding, pulling, pushing, and this is the important bit, no possibility to play the ball. Now, that's the important bit. No possibility to play the ball. The offending player must be sent off. That's
what's happening. Time out. Whoa. Something's
gone down.
Whoa.
Well, that was a bit lively. Hey, wow. Hey, VAR's trying to intercept our transmission.
I mean, they're trying to block our show.
VAR, they're trying to bust it. They don't. The gremlins. Can you hear us, ref?
Can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Stockley Park of it. Clearly, put gremlins in the system to stop me from ditching them here.
We just wanted to make sure everyone was awake. It's Kevin's birthday, so yes.
Sorry about that. Where
no worries. You had read the law. You'd read the law to us. So now explain.
It gave no wriggle room to the referee. The referee has to give him a red card. There is no way around it. The important bit there is no possibility to play the ball. David Luiz has no possibility of playing the ball. He's nowhere near really making a tackle. You are absolutely correct in what you said before. He would have been better making a last-ditched attempt to hook his leg round and siding him, and he'd have got a yellow card. Which is just
bizarre.
In this instance, it's an absolute case of where the law is an ass.
Ref.
It's the law that's at fault.
Ref, can I ask this question then? If he'd have tried, if he'd have so-called made an attempt to win the ball when he couldn't have won it, he still could have been sent off, couldn't he?
He could have been, yeah, because the referee would make a judgment there of whether he's actually trying to play the ball.
Right.
Or is he just trying to side him down and making it look like... But like there is a possibility. But he's got more chance of getting off with it.
Right.
Than he has in that instance. It's black and white. It's a short case.
Yeah.
What I want to ask is, even though the letter of the law is what the referee is interpreting, and we talk about this a lot, ref, and we've done it in the past, why didn't the ref go to the monitor just to double check? Why didn't he do that?
Yeah, I think in those circumstances, and I'm going to stick up for the referee slightly here, because I think in those circumstances, I think he thinks it's an open and shut case in terms of contact. The only doubt of whether it's a red card there is if there's contact. If there's no contact, then the player has dived. It's no penalty. It's a free kick and a yellow card. He's absolutely certain there's contact by the nature of the collision. He's gone down. He's one-on-one with the goalkeeper. He thinks 100% in his head that David Luiz has made contact with the player. That's not a debate in his head. The debate is whether it's a red card or yellow card. If he thinks there's contact, It's an open and shut case. It's a red card. Yeah.
But I agree.
Going to the screen would be irrelevant. The only thing going to the screen would be for is if there is actual contact with the player.
I mean, this is bizarre. This, I agree with Gunnar Ron. The law we accept. Okay, we accept the law. What's the point of VAR though? It's almost like any penalty decision should demand a new law that the ref goes to the monitor.
Okay. Okay.
Sophie, ref, hold on. And can I just add on to the back of that, Sophie, ref? And obviously, it's not for you. I'm just putting it out there so you could probably... Why does the Premier League do things differently to Europe?
Yes, that's a brilliant question.
Why does the Premier League do things different to Europe? Yeah. And why does football do things differently to other sports?
Yes.
So... In rugby union, which is the best sport for the interaction between the video or the TMO and the referee on the field, it is the best sport to watch because it is black and white. They communicate. You can hear the communication. They have a discussion and you can hear it. They'll say, is that a try or no try? Not protect the referee on the field. Not if the referee's given it, then it's a yellow card. If the referee hasn't given it, all of that we've got in, same as cricket, where an LBW decision in cricket can be out if the umpire gives it on the field. It's not out if he's not given it. It's the same delivery. It's bizarre. And it's the same in football. If a referee is given something on the field, it's highly unlikely to be overturned, etc., etc. In rugby union, they communicate. You can hear the communication. And it is an open and shut case. Is it right or is it wrong? The end.
Yeah.
There's no discussion. Football has made itself complicated, as per usual. It's tried to find a fudge in the middle to protect the referee on the field. That's what they're trying to do. And if you're going to do that, you might as well get rid of VAR and allow the referee on the field to make a decision, which I said all along they should do. I'm sure all of us sat here, you know, VAR was brought in to end controversy, which I had a problem with anyway, if I'm honest, as a football supporter. I want controversy. I want to go to the pub after a match and have a discussion about something. That's what makes going to the game and watching game on TV fun. Talking amongst friends about what's happened. You don't want it an anodyne, whiter than white, the way some American sports have gone, for example. But what they've done is they've exacerbated that controversy times 10. It's now miles worse because you've got decisions where everyone can see it's an ass. Everyone. But yet the authorities stick with it.
You know what, Riff? In MLS, when it goes to VAR or replay, you hear the discussion, same as rugby. And I don't understand. I think, remember we talked about this a few months ago as well, when especially for fans in stadiums, because they can't understand and see what's going on. And now, especially in this time, like the MLS model is brilliant because you can actually hear the conversation between them and what they're discussing and why. And it makes a huge difference, especially with some of these controversial decisions. And there was a comment here by MK, which I think is really important. Why wasn't the rule applied to Southampton in a near identical situation?
Go on, sorry.
No, go on, Ref.
No, I mean this is the whole problem that we've got. Mm-hmm. So if you go to the you've played, Kev, you've been in the media around it, so I've refereed it, we've all watched it, yeah? So we pretty much know what we're talking about here between us.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a handful of rules in football which are not subjective. Is the ball over the line? And whatever that is, whether it be a throw-in, corner, goal. Offside shouldn't be subjective, but they've managed to make that subjective because now it's the sleeve of the shirt. But that shouldn't be subjective. That should be a line call. So you could look at that on a screen. You can't look at anything else on a screen because you've got two human beings involved. Mm. So I could look at a decision and think that's a penalty. Kev could look at it and go, that's not a penalty. Yeah. You could look at it and go, I don't know. You've got three people looking at you, relatively know what we're talking about. Us three are not going to agree on every decision that happens in a football game. So why should someone in Stockley Park and someone on the field of play have the same decision? They're not going to. The referee on the field is in the feel of the game. He's watching what's going on. He's hearing noises, something which you don't take into consideration. He may have heard the contact with Louise. He may have actually physically heard it. Gives the penalty. There's no debate. We're not there, and neither are the people in Stockley Park.
True.
And then they're looking at things on a slow motion replay.
Yeah, which changes everything.
What are you doing? And then they're referring it to the referee on the field to look at the screen, and they replay it to him on a slow motion replay. We've managed to just make it. It's almost like we're on a race to make it as thoroughly complicated as we possibly can. And to make ourselves, or not ourselves, make the rule makers, the lawmakers, look the biggest bunch of fools that they could possibly be.
Okay, so a lot of our listeners want you working at Stockley Park, Ref. Great.
I've lost about five minutes.
They come in, no. But this, Frank Gunner makes a point that many in chat have made and are talking about, and Arsenal fans on Twitter comparing images, pictures to previous incidences, some involving Manchester United. The consistency is terrible. I think this is the issue, isn't
it, Kev? That's the big problem. That's the big problem. Because you know what? We've seen what's actually happened, Ref, is when you see other teams getting away with far less and more egregious challenges happening to Arsenal and nothing being done. And yeah. I mean, nothing. It's not even VAR is not helping the referee. Maybe the ref saw it, maybe he didn't. But nothing is being done by VAR. So you have to ask the question, why are we getting the worst decision?
Okay, I'm not an Arsenal fan, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you do. Just before I jump in, I don't think you do. I think there are decisions that go in favour of certain teams that have always gone in favour of certain teams. Now, I don't think that's necessarily a bias in terms of, oh, that's X team, so we've got to give it this way. I think there's an innateness about the way that decisions are given. I don't think closed stadia helps. I don't think empty stadiums help. And that sounds a bit perverse because you're thinking a full stadium would influence the referee a bit more. I don't buy that. I actually think in a full stadium, the referee sometimes goes against the pressure that goes on him. So if you've ever come out of a home game and gone, you know, what's happened here? I know I have. And I often think when the referee's under pressure from the crowd, some ref, not all, some will cave, but a lot of referees will go, you know what, F you. You know what? You're all on my case. You're vocal in my ear. The players on the field are vocal in my ear. I'm gonna almost back myself. And I think empty stadia has actually got it the other way.
Ref, listen. I understand about empty stadium, but I'm not having that to make inconsistent referees. Because, for instance, Eddie Nketiah got sent off for a challenge where he raised his foot.
He did.
The same incident, James Tarkowski for Burnley done the same thing at West Ham, exactly the same, and got a yellow card.
Kev, the problem
it's not empty stadium because both were empty.
No, I'm not saying that it's directly that's the issue. What I'm saying is there are things that have come together to compound this. So if you go back pre-VAR, so when we had just a referee on a field, we still had inconsistent referees. We still had inconsistent decisions, didn't we? We did.
I'm not saying that there ain't inconsistencies before. What I'm saying is now that we got VAR in, why are we so inconsistent?
Yes. Right, hear me out. This is where I'm going with this. So you had inconsistent refereeing before. We've all seen it. We've all been on the end of it. And we all think your classic is your man Xhaka. You know, if Granit Xhaka saved a young child by getting rid of the pet off him, it'd be Granit Xhaka attacks the family pet. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. He's got a label around him. He's not helped himself. His tackling's a bit crap. But if Granit Xhaka does something and Jordan Henderson does something, Granit Xhaka's going to get a yellow card and Jordan Henderson's going to get a telling off. That's the way it is. And referees play to that. And that's in their mind. Now, that was there before. Now you've come into VAR. What VAR has done has actually highlighted the inconsistency of refereeing because everyone's watching the refereeing decisions, but then exacerbated it and thrown petrol on the fire because the VAR officials are inconsistent. So it's actually made it double fold. Then on top of that is what I'm saying about the grounds, because the grounds are the way they are, the referees are less influenced by the external characters that are going around them, and it's actually brought out their own innate inconsistencies. So instead of those factors being there, it's made the referees even more inconsistent. It's almost a perfect storm. And it's an absolute and utter basket case.
It's horrendous. But do you know what, ref? I've got to go back. I have got to go back. Again, you say it's not Arsenal being targeted. I say it is. I say we could show you half a dozen incidents that the same thing would happen with other teams. They get the decision and we don't.
Especially with that ref, Casey, there's been 4 or 5 incidences.
All I would say to this, and without... What's the word I'm looking for? Without dismissing what you're saying, because you clearly hold that opinion, and I have no way of disproving that, by the way. I can't sit here and go, Arsenal haven't been more hard done to than other clubs. I can't do that, so I'm not going to. All I will say is that I've had, as you can imagine, I have other conversations with other people who support the football clubs about similar things. Certain fans of certain football clubs, I'm going to name the club involved, actually. So, you know, you don't really get this from Man City fans. You don't really hear Man City fans complaining about inconsistencies against them on the field of play by the referee.
Do you want to bet? When they played Spurs in the Champions League semi-final. That was another disgrace.
Yeah, it was. I mean, in the last couple of years...
I live in Manchester. They complained like crazy.
Of course they did. But in general, I have a lot of friends. I live up here, as you know. Yeah. I have a lot of Man City fans who are season ticket holders. Yes, I take you on the Spurs thing. But in recent times, the last couple of seasons, they're the one club I don't hear a lot about. Funnily enough, Manchester United, going back in the day where there was always the inference that United were getting the decisions, they've been on the sharp end of a few recently. That Burnley game the other night where the lad, Luke Shaw, made a tackle, the ball went up the other end, the lad brought the United Cavani down, he's through on goal, it's a red card. Mm-hmm. They go back, they give a free kick. When I've watched it 15 times, I can't see the contact. I'm like, I don't know. You can't give that. They've gone back, given the decision, and booked him, which they can't do on VAR. You can't give a yellow card going back. You can give a red card, but you can't give a yellow card. So they've actually broke their own rules. it's just, look, it's absolute nonsense. And I know Kev's involved slightly on this.
I love it. I love it. It's
like the Van Dijk. No, it's like the Van Dijk incident in the derby against Liverpool. You know, they can't follow their own protocols. They get that wrong. And if you don't understand this, that this is the rules of the game in my phone. If you don't understand that and your own VAR protocols, what chances the rest of us? You might as well give up.
I think if I don't ask this question, by the way, welcome everybody. Fantastic. Love that you're enjoying the show. Good evening to everyone in chat. Love that you're loving the ref. Number one, they think brilliant. You should work at Stockley Park. They love that you're giving great opinions, but also explaining things in a really direct way.
It'd be nice if the FA and the Premier League referee would come out and actually speak.
Absolutely.
I'm not talking about after a game. I'm not talking about putting a referee under the microphone.
Aren't they allowed to speak, man? I mean, only ex-referees. Even Clattenburg said this was a disgrace, you know?
They don't help.
No, I know. So Venkatesh, if I don't ask this because he's posted it three times, please, Sophie, ask the ref if the Premier League should bring in foreign refs. We see foreign players and managers, which improve the league. Then why not referees as well?
I think if you spoke to people who watched foreign leagues regularly, you'll still get a similar discussion about the standard of refereeing to an extent. Where they've got it right against us is their relationship between them and VAR and the authorities and the referees is much clearer, and the protocols are much clearer and straightforward. So you don't see the same level of controversy around the VAR decisions as we do here. Because as you said it up, I think Kev said it up top, why are we different? Why do we do it differently to everyone else? Because it's the English Premier League and that's arrogant. What we tend to do. Yeah, it's arrogant.
We're arrogant. It's arrogant.
Yeah, we are. Arrogant.
Yeah.
Listen, I've covered Spanish football, and the protocol, a VAR say that was a penalty. The referee goes and has a look. And the decision rests with the referee, which is what you're saying, ref, isn't it? Which is the correct way. But our arrogance is ridiculous.
Every decision that a referee gives, with the exceptions of the ones that are made before, are subjective. So if someone says to me in my ear, I think you should go and look at that, yes, it presents a seed of doubt. Of course it does. But the referee, therefore, has got to be strong enough to watch it. They've got to say to the referee and authorities generally, don't show me slow motions. Show me in real time.
Yeah.
Then show it me in slow motion. Don't just show me a slow motion image. Show it me in real time. Look at it. And if I think I've got it right and he's got it wrong, I'll have the nous and the guts and the balls to say, sorry, pal, I'm sticking with my original decision. That's a penalty or not a penalty or that's a sending off. But we don't.
Okay, so here's where I want to go next. Can you explain, because Southampton had a similar issue. Southampton get their card rescinded. David Luiz doesn't.
Yes.
You can see why Arsenal fans are kind of up in arms. Why one versus the other, ref?
Yeah. okay, there's a minutiae thing going on here, I think. I think looking at the two incidents, and I've watched the two incidents,
mm-hmm.
I don't think there's an inference in the who did you play?
Wolves
game that the player cheated. I think there's an acceptance that the player there was contact. Forget the rest of it. Just a minute. I think there's an inference that there was contact. I think there was contact. He's gone down. With the Bednarek incident, I think they feel that Martial has died. And I think that's where they've gone with it. I think they've gone, Martial's taken a dive, he's conned the referee, therefore he's conned the player, therefore it's not a red card, so we've rescinded it. In the Arsenal incident, if you are saying that it is a penalty and a red card, it's sorry, if you are saying there's contact and it's a penalty, it is a red card. There is no comeback. They're not going to overturn that because they've got the decision right according to this. It's this that's wrong, not the interpretation. Arsenal were never, ever, ever going to get that overturned. And actually, they're pretty lucky they didn't throw an extra game onto it. It's a frivolous appeal. If you're an Arsenal lawyer and you're looking at the rules of the game, if you go to their legal department or whoever it is who looks after these things and goes, should we appeal? Any a sensible person would have gone, you've got no chance, mate. Now they're making a statement. That's what they're doing. PG touched on it before. She's glad she did it. She's glad they
sometimes,
done it.
Yeah, sometimes,
they,
yeah.
Could be, like, sometimes you just got to go, you know what? We're not going to get it, but up
but
yours,
we're going to try.
We're going to make it a talking point. So there you go. We're appealing it. And actually, it helps you in a way that Bednarek has got his overturned because it's put two incidents against each other and we'll create a discussion. I'll tell you what will happen. In a month's time, the Premier League will issue a diktat that the rule has been tweaked somewhat and we're up with different rules because three times that's happened this season. How can you have the rule changed mid-season?
Right.
Liverpool got a penalty at Anfield against Leeds where the ball came off the defender's leg and hit his arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we Liverpool got a penalty, sorry.
No, you just gave it away. You guys were
you
asking.
Give it away.
I've done it before.
You could tell from that accent. It was one way or the other, let's be honest.
Liverpool got a penalty, which now wouldn't even be a discussion. It'd be just play on. It wouldn't even take a second to look at it. Yet they've changed it. Your Leeds, they lost that game 4-3. Imagine they go down by 2 points. You'd be looking at that going, hold on a minute.
That's costly.
You cannot change rules mid-season. It's either the same for everyone. Well, it's got to be the same for everyone. You either change it at the start of the season or the end of the season. You cannot come and start interpreting laws differently mid-season so that teams get one. Who got the goal disallowed for his arm? Was it Bamford? He put his arm out to point.
There's been a few this season with the arm.
Yeah, there's been a couple. Bamford definitely had one, didn't he? When he put his arm out to point and he gets given offside because he's out. And I'm just thinking, really? Is this where we've come to? Is this? Wow.
It's mad.
If you're a newbie coming to football, you'd be looking at that going, right, okay.
No,
that's a goal-scoring part of the body, is it?
Yeah, it's not right.
How many goals would have you had disallowed? Ian Rush would have had disallowed. Ian Wright would have had disallowed. If the laws were there now the way they are, where it's an armpit or a shirt sleeve.
Oh, it's mad. You know, it's mad. It's mad. It's crazy.
For a striker, I feel passionately about it.
You have to play on the edge.
Just imagine you're Eddie Nketiah, right? You're a young lad. You're making your way in the game. You've got a bright future. And suddenly you're playing Liverpool or suddenly you're playing Manchester City. And you're up against Ruben Dias or you're up against Virgil van Dijk. The art of a striker is to time your run so that you go past that striker level. Because if you're a yard behind Virgil van Dijk, you're not getting to the ball. Virgil van Dijk will block you off and he'll beat you to it. If you're level with him and he's turning, you've got a chance.
Yeah.
You are stopping good strikers getting the only advantage they have against the best defenders in the world. And that is plainly and utterly wrong. It's stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm trying to find this. It's a great comment. It's been an echo. Sorry if you guys can hear that. But there's been a few people saying if the Southampton card has been overturned, player is off that now. Shouldn't Martial be then reprimanded for diving?
They can't give
this is the rule again, they can't give retrospective yellow cards. So Martial's would be a booking, it wouldn't be a sending off, it would be a booking. So no, if Martial had kicked him in the head, then yeah, it's a red card, they're doing violent conduct, but it's a booking, so they can't give retrospective yellow cards.
But didn't that happen when the Everton striker at Crystal Palace, he went down in the box. I think the penalty was given.
Last season
or the season before. And they banned him Retrospectively.
Now, hold on. This is where you start getting into shady areas. Because if you watch it, you're right. You're absolutely right. If you're saying, no argument here from me, by the way.
Yeah.
If you're saying that a player has died clearly on review, and you're reducing the yellow card, there is a natural link to say, well, maybe you should be looking at the player. I'll just say, not every time a striker goes to the floor, as Kev will know, is not necessarily a dive, and every contact is not necessarily a foul. Mm-hmm. So you have to be 100% certain that Martial has taken a dive. That Everton one was at Sellers Park. I remember it very, very well.
Yeah.
And it was a clear one. It was a clear one. All I will say in defense of the people who are handing out the punishments pains me as it does, because I'm not their biggest fan. I don't think it's as black and white as that, in my opinion.
What you don't think Marshall's was a dive?
I think it's a dive, Kev. I think it's a dive. But I think what they're doing, I think what they're saying, I think there's not a definitive line, but I think what they're saying is we're not that certain. And I think that's where they've gone with it. I agree Rick. With you. No, but
hold on, Rick.
Listen to these words.
No,
I agree with you.
Yeah, no, I get you agree with me. But what I'm saying to you is this. You agree with me, but you can't then turn around and say they can't see that's a dive. It's a blatant dive. Let's be real.
No, I can, because it's the Premier League and it's the people who look at these stuff and they consistently get it wrong.
Look at this.
So I can look at it. Don't dismiss the fact that they may not have followed their own protocol, by the way.
I get that. Ref, right, let me just take a step back a minute. You said Bednarek probably got his card rescinded because they thought it was a bit of a dive. So it's either it's a dive or it's not.
No, I don't agree. Well, I don't agree with that comment in its isolation, I don't agree with that comment. It's not always a dive or not a dive.
No,
it's not always as black and white as that.
No, what I'm saying is
that incident.
All I'm saying is before you said he probably got his card rescinded,
yes,
because they probably saw it as a bit of a dive.
Yes, I think Martial has made the most of it, shall we say? But I agree. I'm looking for a reason why they haven't given Martial any other punishment, and I think it's because.
They broke their own protocol.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think they've either thought it's not as blatant a die, so we can't look at it and go, it's a definitive 100%, no one near him, falling to the floor dive. Or, and you can't dismiss this, they just haven't applied the rule which they have there. You can't dismiss it because there's history. How did Jordan Pickford avoid a ban from the derby? How did that happen?
Oh, I mean, how is that? They
don't follow the protocol at the game.
No, I think he was offside, wasn't he? Someone was offside.
That's why.
And if he's offside, you've got to take it from the offside, not the challenge.
No, Kev, you're wrong, and I can prove it if you want me to. You're wrong. All that happens there is it's the actual law itself, the name of the law itself. Because, so just for example, Van Dijk's offside, yeah?
Yeah.
So the flag goes up, he's offside. Virgil van Dijk then punches Jordan Pickford in the face. The game doesn't stop at the offside. Virgil van Dijk gets sent off for violent conduct because he's punched him in the face. Jordan Pickford's tackle is reckless. It endangers an opponent. By the letter of the law, that is a mandatory red card and a 3-game ban, regardless of the offside. Doesn't matter. And actually, in the same game, Kev, Richarlison gets sent off after the whistle has gone for a free kick on someone else. That tackle comes late after the whistle.
What we're saying is when the ball comes in, Pickford's got to spread himself.
Yeah.
Because Van Dijk's going to put the ball in the net.
Kev, that's a red card.
No, listen, I'm not saying it's not a red card. What I'm saying is, why didn't they give it? They give it because Van Dijk's offside and Jordan Pickford has come out to try and smother the ball.
Yes, they admit it. Who was it? Michael Oliver came out about a month ago and said, we got it completely wrong.
It was violent. Ref,
they got it wrong because what they did, Kev, what they did.
Ref, hold on. Ref, hold on. Ref, hold on. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways.
I'm the referee.
Because Michael Oliver, all of a sudden, a month later, comes out and says, it was this, it was that. Well, they never done it at the time.
No.
So it makes no difference then.
No, it doesn't. Michael Oliver. It makes it. There's a red card, actually, Kev. There you go.
Oh, you got a yellow.
It makes a difference by the rules of the game. And what they did was they didn't follow their own protocol. They stopped at the offside where they should have gone. Oh, it's offside by their own protocol. Oh, it's offside. Now let's look at the tackle after. Oh, that's not very good. That's a red card. Get off. They didn't. They stopped at the offside.
Ref, did the referee go and look at it on screen?
No. I think that needs to be a law. I think.
Well, again, we're doing it. The arrogance that we've got in this country to referee high level, the best league in the world, is a disgrace. Then
it is a disgrace. What we do.
How much money at stake?
Just going back to Arsenal. Right. As I said to you before, I can't verify or sit here and go, you watch them a lot more than me, whether you've had the rough end of the decision, right? I can't answer that. So just for a moment, I'll accept that you are. I'll accept that within the pantheon of teams in the Premier League, you're getting on the rough end of it this season. If the difference between Arsenal getting in the Champions League is 3 points or 4 points or 5 points, and they miss out again on Champions League football, which will directly influence the ability of the club to attract the best players, and will directly influence Mikel Arteta's chances of turning you back into a proper force at the top of the Premier League, where is the justice? And I go back to the relegation zone. If teams get relegated based on we had one last season where the ball went over the line. Aston Villa stayed up by the skin of their teeth. Imagine Aston Villa got relegated based on that. Where it's just simple. Somebody goes, that's over the line. I saw it. You saw it. Everyone watching on TV saw it. Oh, sorry, the system wasn't working properly, or he didn't have a view of the ball. I don't care. I can see that the ball's over the line.
It's a mile over.
Have some of these.
It's a mile over as well.
It wasn't close. It's just like...
Nah. It's crazy. It's crazy. Okay, so... I mean, I can't even keep up with the comments. Everyone is hot on
he's
this subject.
He's getting us hot.
He is. Hot, and people are like, they're loving, they're like, I've never seen Sophie so quiet. It's fantastic because, you know, I love hearing it though, because Casey's been in the game. He's played the game. He's been on the receiving end of pens. He's been on the receiving end of not. And you, ref, you know the rules. You know what's going on. And the truth is that, for Arsenal fans, I think the stickler is, and it's just kind of the anger has grown today because the Southampton card was rescinded and ours wasn't, but the letter of the law, and you've explained that to us, says that we should never even have appealed it, really.
You're not going to get it overturned.
No. So,
Sophie, hold on a minute. Nicola Pepe got sent off against Leeds, didn't he, for putting his hand in the face of Alioski.
Was it kind of his head, wasn't it? Was it his head or?
Well, yeah. And Granit Xhaka got sent off for putting his hand in somebody's neck.
Correct, yeah.
When we played Liverpool, Sadio Mane, in front of the linesman, elbowed Kieran Tierney right in front of the linesman. By the letter of the law, get your red book up again. Come on, get your red book up. That is a red card. But
there was two incidents in that game, Kev. There was Sadio Mane, definite red card, and Andy Robertson got away with one.
Yeah.
Andy Robertson early on, as is Andy Robertson's bent, and I quite like it, he put one on one of your players early on in the first few minutes.
That's right.
And it was a bad in. And as soon as I saw it, I went, he's going to be off here.
Yeah.
And they never even looked at it. Didn't go to the screen. No intervention.
But the issue
I genuinely do think, by the way, that we probably got away with them because we're Premier League champions and everyone loved us at that time.
No, but
genuinely. I just think we get it.
Every time you mention Liverpool, Kev freezes in time.
When you do it, when you actually do it in front of the linesman, his linesman's there. And he does.
There's another thing, look, Kev. There's another thing.
How can you not have a look?
Oh, and there's another thing, though, Kev, that's not talked about a lot. The influence of the linesman has now gone. Linesmen are not getting involved because they've got the backup of VAR. They think Stockley Park are going to see things. So, when have you seen a linesman this season? Flag, referee, I've seen something. When have you seen this season a linesman put his arm across his chest and gone, it's a penalty? And they were regular sights in Premier League games where you would see a referee go, that's handball, it's a penalty. Not doing it, not getting involved.
Yeah, but ref, my point is this. Kieran Tierney went down and the game stopped.
Yeah.
The referee went over and the referee's mic'd up.
Yeah.
He never even looked at it.
No.
Yeah. That's the issue.
That's my issue. My issue is... Fair enough, the linesman's not getting involved or whatever. But he goes over, he's down, and he's got hit in the face. What? He's obviously speaking to VAR, obviously. Yeah. And it's a clear elbow. Yeah. Clear.
Absolutely.
You said you thought it was a red card.
Absolutely.
So, 100%. So why doesn't the referee go and have a look? That's all I'm asking.
No, but that's down to Stockley Park, that, Kev. Stockley Park are the ones who are driving that because the referee might not have the best view of it. And just giving the referee off the hook here a little bit, he might not be able to see it. I've got a serious point about the linesmen. They play a part in a game of football. They should be the eyes of the referee where he hasn't got a right view. They should be able to intervene. Forget Stockley Park. Stockley Park should be the last people to get involved. The people on the field, if they see something... The linesman, in that incident, in my opinion, if the referee clearly hasn't seen it as an elbow, clearly, because he'd have given it. He's not biased. I don't think he's biased necessarily against Liverpool, for Liverpool, but he's not seen it. So if he's not seen it, he then needs help. The first person to help is the person stood right in front of the incident. The linesman should have gone, come here. The referee goes to the linesman. The linesman says, ref, I think he's caught him in the elbow. You think, are you sure? I think, okay. Lads, can you just have a look at that, please? Because the linesman's saying there's an elbow from Sadio Mane across the face of Kieran Tierney. Yeah, looks at it. I think you should go look it on the screen. Goes to the screen, looks at it. It's a clear elbow. It's not difficult where you see it on the TV. Sadio, you're off, lad. By the way, Sadio Mane was man of the match in that game.
Yeah, but why? So my question is, ref, and I totally get what you're saying. Why book him then? Why book him? How could you book somebody if you don't even know what he's done?
It's your ultimate cop-out.
Yeah, and this
it's
is
your
the
ultimate cop-out.
Yep.
How many times have you seen a referee? There was a game I was watching last night, and I can't remember which game it was. Might have been at Newcastle, Leeds, Everton. And he didn't give a free kick. You could see him gesture play on until you could hear the player screaming. And as soon as he was audible, he gave the free kick and booked the player. He gestured play on. He was like, he wasn't going to give the free kick.
I want to put this. Sorry, ref. I just want to jump in. I want, because a lot of people are asking, why is it down to Stockley Park to decide if the ref can go to the monitor? Fans just don't get it. Can't the ref make his own decision?
Well, if the ref, right, okay. So just put yourselves in the shoes of the referee, okay? The referee is only going to suggest going to the screen himself if he's not 100% certain of what he's seen. Yes? So if he's undecided about what he's actually seen, that's the only reason why he would go to a screen. If I'm refereeing a game and I think I'm 100% certain, it doesn't make me right. It just means that I'm 100% certain what I've seen. Yes?
Yeah, but what happens if you haven't seen it?
Well, if I haven't seen it, I haven't seen it, so I'm not giving it. So at that point, I can't say to myself, go to the screen. That's where Stockley Park. Well, that's the
But isn't it worth you as a referee seeing it for yourself?
Yes, but then you've got a line there of how many times you're going to go to a screen during a game. So there's a fine line, is what I'm saying. I have no problems with the referee taking himself to the screen and saying, can I have a look at that? No problem. It's going to be rare, trust me, because referees are going to go with their gut instinct and judgment. And that's where Stockley Park, or the linesmen on the field, I'll say it again, that's where the linesmen on the field in Stockley Park, as that's what their job is. Their job is to look at an incident and pick up on the things that the referee has either not seen or he's misjudged. Mm-hmm. Referees are allowed to make mistakes. Stockley Park are there to go, we think you've got that wrong. Go and have a look at the screen. That's their job. The problem is they're not doing it in all the correct incidents. They're not doing it in the right order, and they're getting most of them wrong. And it's making the game an absolute farce. And it's actually making the game not enjoyable, if I'm honest.
Yeah,
it's really changing it. Listen,
I can take my team losing and getting beat fair and square in any game by any team ever. I'm old enough and ugly enough to put my hands up and go, fair enough, well played. But what sticks here, Liverpool played at Brighton earlier on in the season and got a penalty given against them where Andy Robertson's the tip of his boot touched the bottom of Danny Welbeck's boot. The ball was miles away. The referee didn't give it on the field, but then went and looked at it on the screen and overturned it. Danny Welbeck came out after the game and went, yeah, pleased with the points. Got a really soft one, though. And it's like, he's not daft. He knows they've got away with one. So when it's games like that, and I said, Arsenal, if Arsenal don't qualify for the Champions League, and it's based on 2 points, if you should have won that game the other night. You were in control. You were battering a dispirited Wolves side. All of a sudden, a penalty's given. They're down to 10 men. Confidence goes through the roof. Martino turns into Messi, and everything goes to hell in a handcart. Leno then has, I don't know what's going on
Russia
there.
Russia blood.
Yeah, Russia blood to the head. And it all starts to unravel. Plus, now you've got to play Villa. Okay, if you lost last night, you've got to play Villa next, I think, haven't you?
Yep.
And you've not got your goalkeeper, who's absolutely outstanding. And, you know, you've lost David Luiz, whatever you think of him, is an experienced international centre-half.
Yeah.
It sucks, and it's hard to take.
Brilliant stuff.
Get into Stockley Park and sort it out, will you, please?
Finishing off like
Kevin Campbell. Amazing. Smashed it, Ref. That was brilliant. No problem. You know, I think sometimes us fans, you know, unfortunately the rules are part of the problem.
Just going back to that incident, the Luiz incident, it's not the referee, it's not the FA. Well, it is. It's not the referee, it's not VAR. The law is an ass.
Yeah. Yes. And as Arsenal Queen says, it's very hard to take.
It is difficult to swallow. Yeah. Really difficult one.
Well, listen, you've earned your crust tonight, referee. Thank you so much for joining us. Absolutely brilliant stuff. Great analysis.
Thank you very much. Everyone enjoyed it.
We will
have a good rest of your birthday.
Everyone wants you back on the show. Everyone wants you back on the show. So we're going to have to do that. I'm sure there's going to be a lot more controversy as the season goes on. So we'll make sure that happens.
I'll see you next week.
Sounds like Chelsea have a penalty as well. So
there's a shock, eh? See you later.
Take care, Ref. Thank you.
Cheers, Ref.
Bye-bye.
Really
brilliant, isn't he? Absolutely brilliant.
He's so brilliant. Yeah, everyone's loved him. He is smashing. And yes, Amesy, we're very thankful. Thanks, Ref. And yeah, top man. Really good feedback. Absolutely nailed it tonight. Absolutely nailed it. Sophie, you need to pat yourself on the back for introducing a top-notch discussion. Why, thank you so much. Venkatesh, thank you for joining us. 1:53 a.m. Good night. God bless you. Well done for joining us at such an ungodly hour for you. We so appreciate it. Listen, you guys, we're not done yet. I'm not done yet. Now we get to the good stuff. This is where almost ruin the surprise, right? Yes, everyone calm down. Now we're going to chill mode. Now we're going into, there's a reason I'm wearing a dicky bow today. And as you guys all know that Kevin always wears a dicky bow on Thursday. Get your happy birthday messages in. No, we're never going to reveal his identity. not his name. Always brilliant stuff. Thank you. Don't go just yet, you guys, because you're going to love this next segment. We are the mob today. Absolutely. I haven't ruined it yet, Newman. Jeez. Wait.
Is he still on it, Im?
Shouldn't he still be on a timeout, everyone?
he got a red last night, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, we're now officially into Sophie time, which everybody loves. Thanks to everyone for joining us. Now, Super Kev, it is your birthday today, all right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a little, let's say a little private investigator helped me with some stuff. And let me just say, I love talking football with you. I feel like it's an honor. You are such a legend and you do so much for so many people and you inspire all of us. You are one of the most accessible footballers on the planet. You've played the game at the highest level. You've won at the highest level. And the fact that we get to talk football with you so consistently is kind of like pinch myself sometimes because it's a bit of a dream. And today I want to take you down memory lane a little bit because I'm not going to give your age away, but you get young. You're Benjamin Button. You're Zlatan. You get younger as you get older.
But do you know something, Sophie? I love being my age. I love it. Honestly, I'm 51 years old today. I love it.
You look so good, man.
I feel 25. I train every day. I feel brilliant. Why wouldn't I? Hey, listen, I've earned this 51 years.
You have. And I can't keep up with all of the comments. I know I'm going to cry too because he's amazing. He really is. So let's have some fun. I acquired some pictures and I want to start with one.
What was that?
I acquired some pictures.
Really?
Yes.
What pictures?
Well, I want to start with this one first because I'm like, every time I look at this and I'm like, I remember that song, Hungry Eyes. Hungry Eyes. Look at your eyes, Casey, on that ball. Tell me, where is this? What's happening here?
That is a Southeast Counties Cup game. And I was 15.
Wow.
I'm playing against 18-year-olds.
You had thighs like that when you were 16, man.
15. I was 15 in that picture. Yeah, 15. I was hungry, man. I was hungry. Listen, to play in Arsenal's youth team at 15, I was hungry. What? Oh, man.
Have a stripper on the door. No, it's not that kind of birthday. Absolutely not. Okay, now there's more, Casey. In fact, there's a few. You guys, you're so into Sophie time, you're going to love this. This one, I don't know. Don't ask me, but it's so special. Look at this picture, Casey. Tell us what's happening here.
This was actually at an Arsenal supporters club do. And that's my mum beside me. Look how young my mum looked. That's my mum beside me. And my sister with obviously the chairman at the time who's no longer with us, Peter Hillwood. And that's Ken Fryer on the far left. Beside my sister, Lorna. So that was a really, really a proud picture for the family because it's the first time my mum ever really came out to an Arsenal do. And they treated my mum so beautifully.
Man.
I was so proud.
So beautiful. I mean, they look so beautiful. And what a great picture. I mean, this is fantastic. I love this shot so much. It's so warm and you can feel the love and... I mean, what a great time, Casey. What's going on here? That's Jimmy Carter, isn't it?
Jimmy Carter. I think Jimmy scored a goal, right? And Jimmy was one of the funniest guys in and around the dressing room, and we loved him. So that was just us celebrating a goal we scored. Brilliant. Absolutely. Brilliant. Love him. And you know what? Jimmy does so much now for charities and helps people. And absolutely fantastic. Bit of a trailblazer as well, because I think he was the first Asian player in the Premier League. Many people don't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's incredible. Yeah. I'm going to go to, let's see. I've got a few, man.
I love the pictures. I love the pictures.
Well, you're going to love this. So I'm going to go here next. Let's see what's going on here. What's happening here? This is you, your last birthday when you turned 50.
That was last year.
And this is your cake.
With my Arsenal cake.
Your Arsenal cake.
Wow. Which one of my family's in this, man?
And you know what I love? I love that Arsenal wished you a happy birthday as well today. That was such class and brilliant. I'm going to jump around and we might go forward and come back. But look, I think this is what Arsenal fans love. You are one of like the defining players of the banana
kit.
The kit, you know. Bruce and this banana. Talk to us about this, like PR day, photo day.
Yeah, this was photo day, and they wanted to show off the Adidas normal home kit. Mm-hmm. They wanted Dave Seaman with the goalkeeper jersey, but they wanted someone to model the bruised banana. And many of the players at first weren't too sure about it. I was sure about it as soon as I saw it, because the shorts were different. It had a different feel to it and a different look, you know. So I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And that became one of our most famous away kits. Oh,
it's legendary. Absolutely legendary. What's going on here, Casey? Who? Look at this team. The JVC kit. What's happening here?
Now, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. For anybody looking at this picture, right, can you see Paul Merson?
Okay, wait.
Can you see
yes,
Paul Merson?
Right, yeah, above the goalkeeper, Merson. Right?
Right, that's it. And that's Nicky Hammond. That's Nicky Hammond, who was so influential at Reading. And now he's the head of recruitment at Celtic, Nicky Hammond, the goalkeeper. Nice. There's baby Kev in the bottom right. I was 15.
Casey, you're picture. So young there. Look at this.
I'm a baby, but you know the two. There's Lee Francis behind me, and the physio was Pat, who was beside Lee Francis. But the two guys on the end was Terry Murphy and Pat Rice, and these two were so influential in a lot of the youngsters coming through this football club. You wouldn't believe it. I'm telling you.
Well, because you mentioned him, I'm going to take you to this picture next because it is very special. You're not in it, but I know what it means to you. Look at that.
Oh, man. Oh, God. That is just a legacy photo for me. When I look at Pat Rice and Jordy Armstrong, who is no longer with us. You know, these two guys played in that, you know, the double winning team in 70-71, winning the league and the FA Cup. And to see these guys made such a big influence on my career. Pat Rice especially. And then when Jordy came back to the club, you know, he couldn't speak highly enough of the club. And he really made a big impression about getting in the first team and doing all your work right, doing everything properly.
What a legend he is, Kevin.
He's amazing.
He's amazing, isn't he? This year is the 50th anniversary of the 1971 team as well. And we've been so busy on the show today, but our sponsors, Football Prizes, they've got a great shirt that you can go to footballprizes.co.uk and check that out. We're going to be, doing a lot more stuff with them. And, you know, that team, this time, that era, I mean, this is part of that history. And the fact you were part of that and that you learned from these men, Kev, is incredible, isn't it, really?
And do you know something, Sophie, which sometimes gets overlooked? These I learned from Arsenal men. Mm-hmm. I learned from guys who were at the club, come through the ranks, who had the club in their heart. I think, you know, Saka, Smith Rowe, and all these guys who are coming through, you know, Steve Bould has played a part in their development to get them up to speed for the first team. And I don't think nobody really mentions that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Steve Bould is in the background. Remember, he was first team and then he went back to under 23 for a reason. I think to get some of these youngsters up to speed. And you have to say they've come in and made a massive difference to the first team.
Massive, massive, massive. You know what? I don't know what it is about pictures of you and Smudger, but I've got a couple here. Okay.
Hey, listen, I was loving Smudger at that moment. I could tell you that. That was the Cup Winners' Cup final after he just rattled one in past the Palmer goalkeeper, which turned out to be the winning goal, which was absolutely brilliant. And what a top guy. That was the semi-final. win against PSG. Look at the smiles. That was just before Wrighty started throwing all our clothes out the window for the fans. Brilliant. What a brilliant night at Highbury. Absolutely
so brilliant.
Brilliant night. Yeah.
So brilliant. So brilliant. I mean, good stuff. And then this one too, of course, legendary.
Yeah, that
What's
was
happening
the,
here with you? Because there's one.
That's,
I have
league.
That's the league, right?
Win. Yeah, that's the league winner. That was at Highbury. You know, after we beat Manchester United.
Yep.
That was that year where we won it before we actually played Manchester United, because Nottingham Forest beat Liverpool 2-1. So we drove back from the golf club, South Arts Golf Club, to Highbury, and there was parties in the streets, and you know, there was a few Lucozade bottles getting emptied and beer and champagne being put in, let me tell you.
I had the picture. I can't find it now, but there's one of you picking up Baldy, and I'm like, picking up Baldy, that's not, you know, that's not easy as well. What is going on here? Look at you, man.
Oh, that was
brilliant.
That's Alan Miller on my shoulders. And that was the 1988 FA Youth Cup final, when we won the game. That was at Highbury. And we ended up beating a really good Doncaster side, who had some of their players were playing in the first team at like 17, 18. And we ended up beating them 6-1 on aggregate. We won the first leg 5-0. You know, it was really, really special. You know, to be at our, I cannot tell everybody enough what these memories do for me, Sophie. Okay. We got to remember, I'm an Arsenal fan.
Yes.
I supported the club. I never even thought, obviously, I'd get to play for the club. But as you start going on in your football career, and you're good, and then Arsenal ask you to go to the club to train. And you go to the club and you're training with Pat Rice and, you know, Pat Dolan at the time was in the youth team. He was doing his badges. Vic Akers used to take us with Pat Rice and that. And you're thinking to yourself, I can't believe it. And then to get offered a scholarship, which is an apprentice, and then you only get two bites of the cherry on the FA Youth Cup. You only get two bites.
I know. You only get two
and
bites.
We ended up winning it. Yeah, it was brilliant.
Mark, you're right. Casey's showing Tony Adams how to hold another player properly on the shoulders.
Well, you know, Stephen Morrow played in our 1988 FA Youth Cup winning side. And he survived, and then Rodders bloody dropped him.
Everyone wants to know which PSG player shirt you got.
I got the Brazilian Valdo.
Valdo.
He was excellent. He was excellent in midfield, and I got his shirt.
Look at Perry Groves.
He's sticking both Thursday. Perry loved it. Perry loved Groves. He loved it.
I had to throw this up. That's you right there, left
in the corner, right in the corner, behind Paul Davis.
Behind Paul Davis. I had to put it up though, because it's such a great picture. Now, this one, you, Paul, and that's Gary Lewin.
Gary Lewin, the physio. And Gary used to be a goalkeeper as a youth team player, etc. And I think he got injured and wanting to pursue being a physio. And what a job he done. He was a fantastic servant to Arsenal. But that was after the Coventry game on the Saturday. We won it the midweek. And that was... we won it the week before, sorry. And then that was the last... That was after the last game. We played Coventry at home and we beat them 6-1.
Brilliant. This is what... Look at this.
South London crew. South London crew.
You're right. Are you eyeing the cigar there? What's going on here?
Pops is passing with the cigar. Rocky's pissing himself laughing. Michael Thomas is obviously saying, I don't want none of that cigar. And I'm thinking, I'll have some of that. Look how many scarves I've got on. I'm telling you, I loved it.
Quite a few. Oh my God. It's so awesome. I love this picture so much.
You know what I look at first? The fans in the background.
I look at the fans
in the background, because there's no fans at football at the moment. I look at the emotion. Look at Barney. Look at John Jensen's
hair. John Jensen's hair.
Oh, brilliant. And listen, he's a brother. He's a brother.
Oh, the type, my God.
Ray Parler, you know, right, he's on the floor, obviously.
It's so good, brilliant. Casey. It's just so brilliant. I have another one of, I love this just because it's great wall art and stuff like that, but I just love how he's looking over you and Righty. So special, man.
Yeah, this was another one of those touching photos that, you know, really gets to me a little bit, to be honest, because Rocky shouldn't be gone, Sophie. He shouldn't be gone. He was, you know, he is somebody. He is somebody, Sophie, who would be an ambassador for Arsenal right now, without a shadow of a doubt. He would be an ambassador, and he would be the best ambassador for Arsenal Football Club anybody would ever see, because you know he really bled the club. He really did.
What a special, special, not only player, but also just, you know, special guy. Look at this. Look at this Motley Crue right here. What's happening here?
Listen.
Look at your jacket, man. That was a Versace number.
Hey, listen. It was more Versace than Versace. There was no Versace at the time. But what I will say to you is, when you're winning, you know, George Graham, sometimes he got a bad rap. But you know what? Everybody respected that man because he made us winners. He set the stage and he turned us into winners. Even Mark Flats on the right-hand side. Got David Hilliard photobombing Righty. Look at that.
So good, isn't it?
What a fantastic photo. That was after the League Cup, wasn't it? That's the League Cup.
Yep.
On the open top bus. Yeah.
And then fast forward and here you and the boss.
Yes.
And
Paul
Pops.
Davis. Yep, Pops. This was at a function.
Was it the Anfield 89 function, this one?
At the Emirates. At the Emirates, at the Emirates, this was. And a special, special time. Special time. Special man, George Graham. And again, it kind of makes me look at that and just think, because you come through so much with these guys.
Yep.
Sophie, you know, all the heart, all the training, all the sacrifice, everything, and we're winners.
It's a brotherhood. And, it's a brotherhood.
Yeah,
it's big total, time. Total brotherhood. I've just got a couple more here. I've got to put these. Here's another one here with the trophy. You, Rocky, Paul, Lee.
Yeah.
Love that. Such a good shot. And then this one, you too, with your. So good.
Paul Davis has got he's got two hats on. Look,
he does. He's got two hats on.
He's got two hats. No, it was, look, you know, Sophie, to be able to win is hard. To win is hard. And to be able to win consistently is very, very hard. And George Graham done that. He built a squad and a team that done just that. And as you could see, the fan base, we do get a little bit touchy when we're not challenging because we've been spoiled, Sophie. Mm-hmm. We have been spoiled. We've been at Highbury and we've had these wonderful teams and we had the team that I played in that lost just the one game. And then we had that fantastic gold Premier League title winning Invincibles and everything chucked in between and doubles and fantastic players, and then you look at it now, and that's why I think there's such an imbalance sometimes in our fan base because we've tasted it, we've been to the promised land.
Yeah, and I agree. FIFA boy Darren, he wrote earlier, he said Rocky would be so proud of you, and I do not doubt that for a sec. I love this picture on the top right here on this of you holding Righty.
FA Cup replay, that was. That's the replay when he scored.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the replay.
Look at you, Casey. This is the one I was looking for.
Baldy.
Picking up Baldy.
That was after the final whistle. Look at Selly. There's Sells in the background.
Selly's running after you and stuff like that. It's so good.
Do you know how it was easy to lift Baldy up? Because you know what? As a youth team player, me and Alan Miller used to have to carry each other up the East Stand upper. And you ask anybody who sat in the East Upper, the stairs were like that. But we used to have to carry each other on each other's back to strengthen the legs. So it wasn't a problem.
Amazing. Everyone is loving this, Casey. I think
we're I'm loving it.
People choking up right here. Look at this, a very good friend of our show. Look at you two.
Where did you get hold of that? That was, yeah,
I'm not revealing my source. I am revealing my source.
Right. Well, don't. That's at the, that. I've got a test there as well. Shh. Don't say nothing. If the wind blows, it'll blow the tash off.
Oh my God!
But that's my brother. Dave Villa is my brother. We came up through the ranks, playing against each other from the age of 6, and we won our first title in the first team at the age of 21, and we obviously won the FA Youth Cup. Dave Villa was captain of the youth team, and we came through all the way together, which was, you know, you very rarely get that. You very rarely get that.
Oh, it's just brilliant. And he's such a good human being, isn't he? He's just like sort of the earth, top shelf guy. Unbelievable.
Top class. He's my brother.
I've got just one. I think I've got one more here, Casey. Look at you. Not you. Look at Rocky and Limpar.
Yeah.
They sent me this because I know it means a lot to you, and you can tell everyone why this picture means a lot to you.
Do you know, some people say that when Anders Limpar came to the team, it kind of restricted Rocky's chances at times. But it didn't, because Rocky could play anywhere in the midfield and on the right. And Anders Limpar absolutely loved Rocky. He did. He absolutely loved Rocky, because Rocky bled the club so much. And any photo I see Rocky, It really gets to me a little bit, Sophie, because I cannot tell you enough how good a human being he is. And, you know, even when he was dropped and Anders was playing, he'd G Anders up. I'm telling you, Rocky was that sort of guy. He was absolutely brilliant. And, you know, I just love it. That's Rocky in a nutshell, making sure Anders is all right.
And we've got a couple of Swedes in the house, and Al Karp is someone who listens to us regularly. And it just so happened, wow, I'm just like choking up a little bit, because he sent this before I even put the picture up, you know, about Anders and Stefan Schwartz and stuff, because obviously it means a lot to, you know, when you're a Swede, there's certain countries and certain times, Casey, certain players that become, look at Salah, Egypt. You don't really get a lot of Egyptians playing at that high level for these top teams and stuff. So it means the world to them, you know?
Yeah. Now, Anders was one of my favorite players, because we were on a wavelength straight away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Anders Limpar was fantastic for the football club, could play right, could play left. And anybody who, remember when we played Liverpool at Highbury and we beat them 4-0 and he scored one virtually from the halfway line, you know, I lifted him up like that. He's the super Swede. He is the super Swede. And Stefan Schwartz was a lovely fella as well. But good player, lovely fella. But just at the time when he came, we kind of fell off just a touch from where we should have been.
Everyone's in tears. Listen,
tears. I love
proud
that.
Tears.
Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you, I got a 10 out of 10 from Bernadette and people are saying this is the best Sophie time ever.
Sophie,
they're all crying.
You get a 10 out of 10 from me, and you're making me choke up, babe. Honestly. Wow. I want Sophie time to go on.
I do too. I mean, I'm saving more pictures for another day and stuff like that, but this is great. And everyone said this. You are like your smile, your energy, Kevin. What you bring to us is just undeniable. Honestly, you're the type of person that walks into the room and doesn't even have to say anything, because your energy, your aura just lights it up. And you motivate me every single day. You know, a lot of the times we have chats before we go on air and after, and you make me want to be a better person. And I think that's what you do with everyone around you. And the fact that I get to speak football with you, a legend who my cousin George and I talk about it all the time. He says to me, he goes, you get to talk to Kev about football all the time. I go, I know, isn't it? It's, you're amazing. You're an incredible human being. And we all wish you nothing but great health and happiness and everything life has to offer all the time. You are a epic human being. Epic.
Thank you very much, Sophie. And I really appreciate that. And I give you tonight 20 out of 10 because honestly, I never expected that to happen. And especially after the ref as well. I didn't think, because you kept it pretty quiet.
I did.
You know, you give it a little, oh, we'll do the birthday stuff after. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? But no, honestly, do you know, I love going down memory lane. I love going down memory lane with you and the fan base. Because you know what? Some of the fan base wouldn't have been around that time. A lot of the fan base have been around that time. Yes, it was pre-Kroenke. You see how happy the players were? This is the time of the David Dean who really loved Arsenal, who propelled Arsenal to where we wanted to go. And yeah, Sophie, 20 out of 10. 20 out of 10, my love.
Even
yeah,
Newman's giving me a 10 out of 10. Wow. Unbelievable.
Wow. Snapshot.
Screen grab. Just brilliant. You know, we just want to show you our gratitude and what you mean to us. And, you know, we hope that you've had an amazing day. I know it's a bit weird for everyone who gets a birthday in lockdown, but I put the dicky bow on, the fedora. I'm like, there's no way I'm not dressing up for Super Kev tonight. Because
that's why you got 20 out of 10. So.
I love it.
You look the absolute part.
Brilliant stuff. Listen, hit the like button if you like us. And if you don't, we'll still be friends. You know, the Highbury squad loves to bring you different kind of content. We don't do the super chat thing. We just love our listeners, don't we, Kevin? And we love talking football. And all that matters to us is that we connect with you. And the lockdown series, I have to say, this is probably my favorite episode ever. I mean, I'm choking up right now. I think I have to go off air.
No, don't. You know what? Because you know what, Sophie? Emotion is important. Emotion's part of football. We've all been there. We've been angry earlier on in the week because of what happened in the Wolves game. So, you know, hopefully this has taken people down a bit of memory lane, seeing the likes of Rocky and Steve Bold at his pomp, Limpar, and Paul Davis, Michael Thomas, myself, you know, Paul Merson, all the guys in different photos that maybe you wouldn't have seen or maybe you haven't seen before. So, Sophie, I'm telling you, absolutely brilliant, my darling. Brilliant.
Thank you, Kevin, as always. And the ref did a great job too. He gets a 10 out of 10 as well. And definitely, our listeners, everyone in chat, all of your beautiful comments, you get a 20 out of 10 as well. And you know, we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is, we're going to have a couple cool guests on from the US. It's two ladies that I absolutely adore and love and have just got insane knowledge about the Arsenal and football. So you'll see them tomorrow night. And Kevin, God bless you and happy birthday. And until then, Casey, tell everyone.
Listen, you took me down memory lane, Sophie, and I'm giving you 20 out of 10. But you know what it is. It's always Arsenal. Come on, you Gunners. Come on.